All right, so this is, we're going to focus on long-term illness in terms of how to approach it when you're online. Now, if you have someone, you know, contact you and they have a long-term illness, they are going to have gone through the ropes of many people. Okay, they usually have gone through lots of different ministries. They've usually have been given almost false hope, for want of a better word. Okay, they might have been told, "Oh, this is going to work." You know, like it's like going to the doctors. You know, you go from one doctor to the next. That's going to be their experience. Oh, this medicine will work. This is your cure. Oh, this surgery, and nothing ever heals them. So they're going to be quite discouraged, and that's the first thing you're going to have to deal with: the fact that they're discouraged. Because if you just go right into okay. Bartek, can you just mute it or something? Because I could just hear, and I don't know if it's going on the recording. You know, I could just hear you typing or something. Okay, thanks, mate. Okay, I never know if that really goes on the recording. So if you can mute that, Bartek, your mic, that'd be really good. Bartek's with us from Poland. Isn't that neat? He's great. He's gone through so many things, and the Holy Spirit's been amazing. Now, so what we want to do is we want to first deal with, you know, when you're praying for people and it's long term, you want to deal with their really the soul issues first, because if you go right into the physical, you're probably not going to get anywhere. When I began doing this, on a regular basis, daily basis, and initially, you know, I kind of had an understanding of one method, but I always, you know, prayed in tongues. So obviously Holy Spirit was engaged in the process. And he would show me pictures. And that's another thing that you can do. You know, when you first start with that person contacts you, they say, "I have such and such disease," and they'll tell you the history of it. They'll tell you how bad it's been, all of that. Okay. You don't want them to overdo it because it could be draining for them and for you. All right. But, you know, it's good to know the factors. Most important thing, obviously, is that you're going to get the Holy Spirit to lead you in how to approach this person and what they've got. But the first thing you deal with is the fact that they're going to be exhausted and weary. So after you listen to, you know, the whatever amount of time that they want to speak about it, you can contain that time. You don't have to just, you know, let them go on and on and on about it, because it's not going to help anyone. It's going to be discouraging for everybody. Get the basic facts, you know, and then pray. And I would suggest to pray in the Holy Spirit so that he can show you exactly the, you know, what areas internally, not even on a physical level, but internally whether there's blockages there, whether they're just so emotionally bereft that they can't receive anything, whether it is, there are other things in their own history. And this is not inner healing. This is not, you know, extensive, let's dig deep into their, we're not doing that. We just want to, it's like Holy Spirit illuminates what's going on, and he does it quickly. He turns on the switch, he shows you what it is, you pray, he fixes it, and it's done. And you move on. Now, sometimes if a person's had a long-term illness, that first time you pray with them, it may not go. All right? That doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean they failed. It means sometimes some people are going to take it through a process, and you have to accept that. Okay. Now, although the other day I, you know, made that decision, it's like, this has to go today. And that is important too. You do need to have a kind of a determination in yourself, you know, in your own attitude of how you're approaching this, that I don't want this to linger. Okay. But where you're at is important, because you're one with Holy Spirit, all right? And he's made it very clear to me, and this is just, this is the dynamic we have in the Spirit. How we are, and how we think, and how we feel affects how he flows. So if we're in a play, I have seen it in my own, you know, I've seen it with session upon session. If I have a poor attitude, or I'm actually, even say doubting, okay, and thinking, oh my goodness, this is too hard. How am I going to do it? You know, if, and I'm putting it on me rather than him. Obviously, Holy Spirit's the one doing the healing. But if I'm not having the right attitude about it, I'm not really going to get anywhere. I mean, it's hard to admit that, but that does happen. I've been in whether it's been out in the street in the marketplace or whether it's been online. If my head is not with it, so to speak, and when I say with it, what I'm talking about is not, you know, not declaring scriptures all day long and, you know, and confessing my faith and, you know, and oh, I've done this, I've done that. I'm not talking about effort. I'm talking about really getting that this is the truth. The truth is he did heal them by the stripes of Jesus. Do I get it? Is that real for me? Because if it's not real for me, it's going to be hard pressed for me to go anywhere with them. Okay. So if we sometimes we need to shake it off. Like, okay, say a person comes to you and they've had an illness for 5 or 6 years. Okay. And they've been in a lot of pain and, they may have multiple afflictions. And you hear their story. Their story can even be debilitating for you. Okay, this is why we've always got to have Holy Spirit at the helm. Because if we start, see, this is the strangeness about the dynamic, and this is where we can sometimes get confused and think, well, what cares? What matters what my attitude is? Because, you know, Holy Spirit's doing it. It does matter. It really matters. But it's not that we're doing the healing. It's that if our attitude's wrong, he's not going to flow through the way he's meant to. That's the we don't change his power. His power is his power forevermore. But we change how he flows through us. And because it's such a, on one level, it's a real responsibility to do this. And it can even become a burden, and that's what we don't want. So we don't want to be burdened by it. It's not like we're taking all the responsibility and I have to get this person healed. And, you know, we're not doing that. That's nonsense. What we are doing is saying that our part in this healing, our part, we want to be clear with our part. Okay, in comparison to what Holy Spirit does, our part is minuscule. But if that minuscule part, it's like, you know, if you have a finely tuned machine, and shouldn't use this comparison because Holy Spirit is not a machine. Let's do something different. Say you're in a garden and, you know, you need to have all the nutrients and minerals and everything for the soil. Okay? And one is missing, and it's a minor one in terms of amount, but it's missing. Those flowers, plants, crops, whatever it is, are not going to grow as good as they would grow with it. And we are like that minuscule mineral. Okay, so we need to make sure we're there. Okay, we're in this place where we actually do believe. And believing, again, comes from actually trusting the Father for the goodness that he is. Okay? So that's really what faith is. It's not, we're not going into, you know, I've got to conjure up faith for an illness that's been around for 30 years. We're not doing that. It's just in his goodness. It's real simple. That's faith is simple. Okay? But we do need to, I'm surprised I'm doing long-term illness at the beginning, but that's what he's bringing up. And I did deal with two people yesterday, and so it's fresh in my mind what it is like for long-term illness. Long-term illness was so debilitating to the mind, not just the body. So you're going to be dealing with a person who is usually bereft of hope. Okay? And you want to help them get that back. Now, you're not going to give them the hope. Holy Spirit will. But depending on where we're at in terms of not just our attitude, but our faith in him, that he really is that good, that he can do this, okay? And never blaming ourselves and never blaming the person. It's like no fault insurance, you know. It's nobody's fault. If it doesn't happen that first time that you meet, we're not faulting anyone. You go to Holy Spirit. You discuss it with him. You ask him what's missing. What do I need to do? Is there something else you need to show me? That's what you do. And that's why when you're online with them, whether you're on chat or you're in a, an audio session like this, you pray in tongues so that you make sure that you're not confusing what you think with what's really happening. Okay. We really need to be self-effacing in healing. Because as much as we have our minuscule mineral part, and it is so vital, we've got to also realize the majority of what's done is through him. Okay? And we are co-workers, but it isn't all on us. So we've got to also, you know what, do you see what, I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's this really, it's almost like a delicate dance, you know? So you're not burdened, but you're also, you also know you have a certain responsibility, okay? And our, do you know what our biggest responsibility is? Is to have a rich and vital relationship with Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's our biggest responsibility. Because when you have that, you will be able to let him flow as he wants to. That's the biggest thing here. So when we're going to approach any healing of any kind, whether it's online, in person, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, is our relationship with him is first and foremost. And I'm sure all of you would attest to that, because the greater your relationship has, the more it has enriched, the more, the deeper you go into him, the deeper you understand, the more you let him infuse you, obviously, the more you can have effect on others. Okay? So that's the foundation. And then the technical part, which is, I even hate saying it is technical, because I don't see Holy Spirit as technical at all. I mean, in one way he is, because he's very practical. But for instance, I was praying with someone yesterday who had, you know, had gone through hell with different ministries, and had even been blamed for not being healed, and was told that they were hijacking everyone's faith. I just think that just atrocious. But anyway, because Christianity is a hijack, you know, we all hijack him. I can't do anything without him. You know, it's like, hey, you know, hijack. No, I'm like a, you know, forget about the hijacking. You know, I'm in his arms. You know, I wouldn't know what to do without him. Anything. It says we can do nothing without him. So what's the point? So, but anyway, this person had been told, and you've got to realize people will be told things like this. And they will, you know, they will feel guilty. And they will feel blamed, and they're already sick. You know, that's the last thing they need. So you've got to be, you've got to be aware and a bit tender about what's going on with them. Okay. And not make assumptions. It's easy to make assumptions and go, oh, well, maybe they really, you know, they're going to everybody. They're desperate. If someone's going to everybody, they are desperate. Okay. Now there are people, as I've noticed, Joyce, you've just put that up there. There are people, I agree, that will be married to their disease. I agree. There are those. And you will come across that. Okay. But let's not assume that everyone who's had a long-term illness is married to their disease. Some are. Okay. But we always want to have a clean slate with anybody that comes to us. We never want to assume and go, oh, this reminds me of so-and-so in 2009. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to be gracious to them, as gracious as he is to us. And if someone is, it's a good point, Joyce, if someone is attached to their illness, then you're going to have to be straight up with them. Okay? I've had people that not accept is not the word, will not admit that their disease is like a pet, okay? And others that will. If they will admit it, if you see it, you know, through the spirit, you're not you're making just a human judgment, through the spirit, you see that they're really attached to this thing and it's their identity. You can tell them that. You can actually say, okay, if you want me, I mean, sometimes you're going to have to be firm with people as well. You can say to them, if you want me to help you, this is what Holy Spirit is telling me. Share with them. You know, for instance, look, you're attached to this thing and you are justifying it. And it gets to stay because you keep justifying it. But you, that isn't you. You are not this disease and it doesn't belong to you and you shouldn't have it because Jesus Christ took this curse from you. So do you want it gone? I mean, you need to be that straight sometimes. If they say, well, that's why I'm here, and you know, and they get dramatic, you know, you're going to try to calm them down. But if they are not willing, you can say to them, I did this with one person who kept telling me they wanted to be healed. And every time I would try and do it, they would do the interrupting. They would get fluffy. I call it fluffy, you know, oh, I don't like what you're saying or whatever. And I finally said, when you are ready to be healed, call me. Okay. And the next time they contacted me, they said they were, but in the middle of it, they became angry and they cut me off. And I thought, no more. I'm not wasting an hour and a half. This other person was so desperate that was trying to get to me, and I spent an hour and a half with this person who was playing a game. So it made me, you'll learn as you go too. You know, I can only share with you what I've experienced, some of my knowledge and Holy Ghost wisdom, and he's going to teach you as you go. You know, you'll learn as you go. And sometimes you will get so upset. You'll think, my goodness, what was that? And it's never a waste because you do learn from it. Okay. But you're going to, it's just like Holy Spirit. Okay. He's not always sweetie with us, is he? I mean, you know, he can be tender and loving and joy filled and all of that. But there are times he corrects us and it hurts. It's like a smack. And sometimes, but of course, you always have to know, you know, we don't put ourselves in a position of, I'm correcting the body. You know, we're not doing this in some kind of lording over manner. We are always going through him. He is telling us. He is directing. He is speaking to us. So we know when we need to do that and when we don't. And that's why your relationship with him is the most vital part of this process of healing. That's more important than anything. Closer you are to him, the more accurate you are going to be, like somebody described it as a machine gun. Dun, 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 one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. You know, bullet, 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 target, target, target. And you don't, it comes out of your mouth. You know, he just comes out of your mouth and speaks it. And you're not qualifying it. You're not thinking, is this him? Is this me? You're not even in that place anymore. That's where you'll get to. Some of you might already be there. Okay, to that point where it is like a machine gun, just, firing bullets off in of revelation. And through that, the person, it is amazing. You know, you'll look at a person and think, oh my goodness, they have this long-term illness. And do we, you know, specifically address body parts? Don't worry about the body parts. The body parts are the small part. Okay, you can address the body parts in as you're going, as you're praying, but we don't focus on the body parts. Because like for instance, yesterday this person had a very, you know, long-term debilitating illness and a multiple kind of, not just, you know, it manifested as one disease and then it came out as something else, and then, you know, they had medication which then caused other issues, and you're going to have that kind of stuff as well. And because the Holy Spirit was at the, you know, he was the machine gun and he was just firing, she was getting free. By what I was saying, it wasn't that I was just telling her, okay, now we're going to command this and we're going to loose that and we're going to bind it. There was a bit of that, but it's pretty minor in comparison to revelation that he will pour out of your mouth. It's living waters, guys. When Holy Spirit is pouring out of you, it is living waters to those people. And it's not just their physical bodies. They are going to get, you're going to get it on the spiritual first. Okay, it's going to pour out of you into their very spirit. And that's what's going to break them free. It's like the abounding grace. It's the same thing with sin, okay? Because sickness is part of sin, yeah? So when the abounding grace is pouring, gushing, this is what he does. He gushes it out of your mouth. You're speaking it because that's the form you're going to have. You're not touching them because you're online. So you're speaking it and it's gushing out of your mouth. It's living water. It's just pouring out. It's going to heal. It's going to bring healing. They're going to get revelation. They're going to say to you, oh, that's what I needed to hear. Oh, that word is so good. Write that down for me. You know, it's going to be like that. Okay. And they might've gone through 7 years of pain, and this is the greatest reward. It is incredible in the healing ministry. And you're going to see them get free right then and there. Okay. And that, well, I'm telling you, that made my birthday, you know, you know, that will make your day, that will make it like a birthday every day because you're going to be celebrating. Okay. That's what can happen. All right. Now, when I first started with this person, that did not happen the first time, but she did get revelation. Sometimes it's going to take them time. Okay. And we have to care enough about them to not dump them. Okay, they might call us 8 times. Now, if they don't want it, though, we cannot force them to receive from him. Okay, so on one level, it is a will issue. We can't change their will. We can pray for their will to be changed. We can pray for their hearts to be softened. We can pray for Holy Spirit to help them receive. We can ask them to be a part of that process. If they refuse, do not blame yourself. Okay, because you will be devastated then, and you'll be flat. And the enemy wants that for you. Okay, he does not want you doing this, I'll tell you. This is like raising up an army, what we're doing right now. Okay, it's serious business. And if he can knock you out at the beginning, he will. Okay, so if you get people that come to you that are, you know, extremely ill, and they have had no success whatsoever, or maybe a little success and then it's recurred or whatever, and you're thinking it's all up to you, you are going to be flattened. Never think it's up to you. It is not us. The only part of us is that we believe the Father is really, he means what he says, did what he did, and is good. That's your part. That's the mineral. That's the grain of a mustard seed. That's you. You're the grain of a mustard seed. Vital. Because without you, nothing happens in this process. But don't, so that's the tension in this, in healing. Well, we're saying online ministry, but that's the tension in this healing ministry. You are vital. And without you, well, forget it. You know, who's calling you? You're not there. But with you, the impossible can happen. But you've got to realize you are the branch, not the vine. So never cut yourself off. Never think it's all up to you, because it isn't. And when you have a problem or a block and you're just not getting through, not getting through, not getting through, you just go to Holy Spirit, who's your teacher, helper, counselor, and comforter. And you ask him. And if he doesn't give you an answer immediately, I'm not talking about asking him. Sometimes you can ask online. I do. If I'm in the process and I'm going, oh, something's going on, Lord, I just don't get it, I'll pray in tongues while the person's there. And he'll usually show me a picture, give me a word or an image or something, and I'll confirm it with the person. You know, is this what happened to you, or is this what's going on with you? I'm seeing, and sometimes he'll speak in pictures and you won't even get the picture. You won't understand the picture until you speak it out, and then it starts clicking, okay, for them and you. So it's okay not to understand it before you speak it. All right, it's all right. He's a living God, and he will reveal as you speak to you and to them. That's how amazing he is. Okay, so before you, it seems like there's such a power in, you know how it says life and death in the tongue? Even in our interpretations of what he's saying, he will bring life to it as we speak it out. Okay, so you don't have to feel like a fool and go, oh, but I don't know what this picture means, da, da, da. That's okay. You just start telling them, okay, I'm seeing a picture of a woman, and she's got all these spider webs around, and she's just tightly woven, and her arms are like fists. And then you're going to start to understand this woman has been bound for years with, you know, and if it's spider webs, I'm just making, you know, he's just giving me this one as an image. If it's, you know, spider webs, it's sticky, right? It's hard to get out from under. And you're going to understand what it means. Okay, she's been bound. It's sticky. She's had a situation where she can't get out from under it. But she's angry because her fists are like, you know, they're in a position of, you know, fighting fists. She's got a hard grip, but she can't move. And you can tell the person, she says, that's how I feel. Great. Now you're going to break it. Okay. Then you go to Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. You know, we break this, whatever it is, whatever we're going to call it, you know, bondage, whatever this, he'll give you more information. I don't know where I'm getting this image from even right now. Okay. You know, I don't know if somebody has it or somebody has a person that's been in that kind of position. I've never seen that image before. Okay. But it's so clear, and you will see like that. It is so clear. It's like a movie in front of you. Okay, that's part of how he speaks. So when people say, oh, I'm not hearing from Holy Spirit, sometimes they're hearing, but he doesn't just, it's not an auditory thing. His voice is versatile. You know, I mean, he does dreams, he does visions, he does songs, he does pictures, he does movies, you know, he's really good with movies, you know. There's so many ways he can communicate to you while you are ministering healing. What's the beautiful part is about it is that you are in the flow of those living waters. Always remember that. You aren't the living waters. You're in the flow of them. Okay? They're flowing out of you, but they aren't you. So that you don't have to feel that responsibility. Oh my goodness, it's not happening. It's not happening. Don't do that. Don't pressure yourself. Because you'll get burdened. And it'll break you. All right? This is you. When we learn to trust Him, it doesn't matter what comes at us. You know, it doesn't matter what the illness is. It doesn't matter how long it's been or whatever. The only thing that can stop it is the will of that person in terms of them, like you're giving me this example, Joyce, of somebody who, you know, comes to you over and over and over, or, you know, or you're having, you know, times with, and they actually, you know, are married to the disease, don't want to hear, and don't want to, you know, don't appear that they want to be free, okay? Now, in that situation, you can't help, because look at how Jesus did it every time. What do you want me to do for you? He would ask them, right? If you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. I'm willing. He's always willing. His will is never an issue in this, but a person's will is. Okay? Not that we get hung up on it and we start judging people. Oh, are you willing? I can't sense that you're willing. Oh, maybe you're willing. You know, we're not doing that. You'll just know. There's very few people that really want to stay stuck. They're few and far between. They really are. And even them, sometimes Holy Spirit will give you such a heart for that person that you can't let them go even though you want to. And you're like, oh, well, I'm tired of them. You will get like that sometimes. But if He gives you that kind of grace in your heart, you're going to be able to deal with them, okay? And you might be the one that is the bridge for them to be free. And I can tell you that is an amazing experience. That you also may not be. They may not have enough of an opening where they're just going to, you know, no, they just want to continue in this. They want to continue in this. What we want to make sure of is we're not judging them. Okay. And we're not making up assumptions about them, because it's easy, you know, in our flesh, it's easy to get rattled, to get frustrated. And they're like, oh, I'm sick of this. It's easy to do that. Okay. I've had it where somebody wanted to call me one night and they had a really, a very unpleasant thing that you had to listen to. I mean, it was vile. It was like a deliverance one. I mean, it was vile listening to it. This thing as it would manifest. And I really did not want to handle it. I was tired that night and I thought, oh, not that one. So I went to Holy Spirit and I just said, Holy Spirit, you take over, because I don't know what to do with this person. Do you know what? We had an amazing session and he got freer than he'd ever been before. Now, had I gone in with, okay, I've got to do it because I'm a good Christian and this is what a good Christian does, I would have failed miserably. But because I just yielded to him, I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't even want to do this, so you better take over. He did. Okay, so he's there all the time. This isn't on our backs, guys. Okay, it's never on our backs. You know, he's the one carrying us. We're not carrying him. Okay, we've got to make sure that flips for us. Don't ever make yourself burdened. Because what does he say? Cast your cares upon me. That's including people and their pain. It really is. He'll tell me sometimes when I'm upset about somebody, and it doesn't have to be even just a healing situation in terms of a physical healing. It can be that they're in a crossroads in a spiritual way, in their lives or of their call or something. And, you know, you can be so involved with them emotionally that you can't think straight. And he'll tell you. He said, give them to me. He will make that very clear, whether it's on a healing, healing situation, or it's a call on their lives and they're, you know, wimping out, or whatever it is that you happen to be praying for, or that that you could even be a friend of. It doesn't always have to be, you know, quote unquote healing ministry. Okay. We don't want to make healing ministry this weird thing that's out there, like a building out in the middle of the desert. Okay. It's just a part of your life, guys. It's just normal. It really is. It's just the normal Christianity. You know, okay, it's wonderful when we see it. It's not like we take it for granted, but let's not make it into an institution or an idol. You know, healing is part of what comes out of you. You've got living waters in your belly. Well, healing's going to come out. It's part of the living waters. That's why we need to really look at it. I've seen it recently. He's shown me. It's like he says to us, you know, don't get caught up in it. Don't make it the bee's knees, the be all end all. Healing is just part of your nature now. It's part of what you do. Okay, it's just part of daily living. Oh, my cousin's sick. Oh, okay. Well, you want me to pray for you? Yeah. Okay. Da 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 da. You know, you pray. Okay. How do you feel? Yeah, that's a lot better. But there's still, oh, I still got this pressure in my head. Okay, let's pray about that. You know what I mean? It's like that. Okay, it really is just normal. Now, that's not to dismiss it or minimize it or make us take it for granted. No, but we don't want to put it on a pedestal, okay? That's what I'm trying to get to. It's important that it has its place, but it isn't the be-all, end-all. Okay, it is for the person who's sick. I'm not, you know, hey, somebody comes to you and they've got stage 4 cancer. I'm telling you, that's the be-all, end-all for them. But what I'm saying is we don't want to be, get so caught up in it that it becomes, not just that it becomes an idol, but even when they come to you with a really heavy illness, we don't want to be frightened. We just want to go, hey, this is normal. This is normal. God does this through me. Okay? Well, Holy Spirit, we got somebody really sick here. Okay? And they need to get healed. And they need to get healed immediately because they've been told they've got 3 weeks to live. Okay. Don't freak out is what I'm trying to say as well. Don't make it an idol and don't freak out with it. Okay? Because illness has all been taken by the stripes and at the cross. I say both. I know that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, but the cross finished everything because then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set everyone free of the law of sin and death. Okay? And that's what the cross did. The law of the life, the law of the Spirit. Okay, the law of the Spirit. That's amazing. That's a new law now. The law is now the Spirit through the cross. And that's the law you're ministering out of. Isn't that amazing? It's a law. Now, that's some kind of law I want to yield to. It's not legalism. It's the law of the Spirit. Okay? And we're in that. We're contained in that. And so when we pray for people, it is that life of the Spirit that is now the law, not the law of sin and death, that is pouring out of us. So we can trust it, guys. We can bank on it. We can believe it. If the cross did it, it's for real. It's the real deal. And if you don't see a result or see someone getting healed right then and there, that doesn't change that law. It doesn't change it. It's happened. The cross happened. We can't undo the cross. You know, we cannot undo it. It has happened. What we've got to do is just let the cross, the truth and the power of the cross, infuse us so that that's what pours out of us as we're praying for people. So that part is exciting, and that part is amazing, and that part is awe-inspiring. But we also want to know that healing is just also a part of our nature. Do you see there's this real tension all the time between it's almost like this paradox, even in our Christianity. On the one hand, let's be awestruck. This is incredible. On the other hand, this is normal. This is just how it is. Because we are now in the Spirit of God. We're held in Him. We're one with Him. And I'm just going to look up that scripture. It's Romans 8:2, because it is just such an amazing declaration of what happened on the cross. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me and all the other ones free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life. That's what we are now. We walk as that, as representatives, but also as embodiments of that. Okay, so you can trust that when someone comes to you, the law of the Spirit of life is flowing out of you. Okay, and it's already broken this. Okay, the cross broke it. That's what we got to look at. We're not trying to make them healed. The cross broke it. All we're trying to do is bring to them what was theirs already. We're delivering them to them what is theirs in the now. It already was done, but now we're right now. That's what happened to yesterday when I was praying with someone. God is a now God. It's right now. Okay, He's giving to them right now, right in this moment, because He's in all time. So to Him, the cross and now are the same time. There is no distinction for Him. So when a person contacts you and you're praying for them, the cross is right there. The cross is right there. The cross is right there. That's what's really happening. Okay, so someone's asked that if it's done now, if it's all now, it's being done, 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 why do people have to rattle through an entire list, they're asking, as if they have to say the right thing? This is where you're going with the spirit, Aaron. You're talking through the spirit. The spirit's talking through you. You're talking to him. He will tell me if I need to say something or not. You just know. Now, if somebody's going, okay, I've got a list and I tick marked it all, okay, should be done, that is not what we're talking about. That is not spirit-led healing. Okay, spirit-led healing is listening to his voice. And if he tells you to address that thing, you address it. Because he knows what he's doing, okay? Don't try to figure it out. Absolutely. Forget figuring out Holy Spirit, you know. He will reveal himself to you, but you're never going to figure him out. Okay. And he showed me this thing the other day. I was asking him a question. It was a personal question, okay? And when we have personal things, sometimes we're very invested in the answer, being yes or no, because we want what we want. All right. So I asked him something, you know, that I wanted him to reveal the truth about whatever it was, question. This is what he said to me. And I thought, ooh, I think I just got smacked a little bit. He said, he told me how to write it like this. Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, but that doesn't make him truth serum, where we ask on demand and he has to answer. He is a person. Okay, so because we ask something of him, and I'm not talking, not even in terms of healing, but in healing as well. We can include healing, you know, if you're praying for somebody. We don't just go, okay, well, reveal it to me. You know, like he's a truth serum and he's just going to, you know, on demand, he has to say it. He's a living God in you. He is the living God in you. And if we ask him for, you know, clarity, advice, wisdom, whatever, he is going to reveal it. But he's not going to always reveal it. It's not like we press a button, okay? So it's not the tick box list, Aaron. It's a living God. He'll speak through you. He'll reveal through you. He'll touch your heart. You might want to all of a sudden feel like crying for the person. You'll get all kinds of different ways that he's going to express what he's telling you. And the closer you get to him, the more you're going to know him, okay? And the more you're going to know what he's saying. Okay, when you're beginning, it's different than when you've been doing this for a while. That's first of all.
Okay.
So it will shift immensely. Okay, when you first start, you're kind of going blind. All right, you're going, okay, I think it's this. All right, I'm trying that. Okay, this is what I was told in, you know, whatever ministry you got taught by or other people's, you know, experiences. So you're doing it like that. As you progress, and most importantly, as you get to know Holy Spirit and his voice, it will change. When I first started, when I would pray for, like, say, a leg to grow out, it took about a minute, maybe minute and a half. When after I don't know how long it was, maybe a few months, maybe a few weeks, whatever it was, I could barely, if I touched them, it grew out like that. And it was like, if I wanted to demonstrate, because that's the easiest one, instant one to demonstrate when I was teaching in groups. If I wanted to demonstrate, I'd say, I can't touch them. You hold their legs, because it literally would just go. It would go. And I'm like, and they'd all miss it. And I'd be like, oh, great. You know, so that will change. That will change over time. Okay. So just go with him. Holy Spirit is very gentle. He can be fierce, is a raging sea too. So, you know, it's not like I'm putting him in a box, but he can be very gentle in teaching us how to do this step by step. Okay. So he's doing it for your sake as well. And if you're hearing, like, or if your husband is hearing, oh, his leg needs to grow out, that's wonderful. That's acknowledgement that he's hearing Holy Spirit. We don't worry about, you know, you get refined in this process, and you'll change your interior will change as you go, okay, and as you learn, and the different people that, you know, your heart will grow so much bigger over time. It is unbelievable. You will have the Father's heart will begin to pour out of you, and I'm not saying it doesn't now, but I'm just saying in a sense of a process, you know, that we're growing, the Father's heart will pour out of you more and more and more. And the love is truly what heals. Okay? Holy Spirit has poured in the love of God into our hearts. Yeah? When we are doing healing and we are listening to Him, He's pouring that love out. That's what's healing people.
Yeah.
Love's healing people. It's not technique. It's not how much power do I have. It's love. You know, because what poured out on the cross? Love. Jesus is love. That's what was given to us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So it is love that has been poured out, and it is love that pours out of us. That is the ultimate thing that's happening here in healing. Okay? Don't worry about, please don't get caught up in details, and just get rid of the performance, get rid of the I've got to do it right, get rid of the you know, I got to figure it out. Forget it. I know some of us are more intellectual than others, and that doesn't mean we're smarter. That just means that's the way our brains work. You know, our minds, we're wired to analyze. I was like that too. I don't analyze anymore. I just let Holy Spirit bombard me. It's so much more fun. You know, it's really freeing. So, does that clarify it then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Because that's what we have to get to. You know, the whole core of this is love. I mean, why are we any of us here? Why are any of us saved? Why are any of us saved? Because of God's love for us. And that's what we're doing. We are imparting. We are pouring forth His love. Because we're one with Him. And what's God? God is love. Well, there you go. So we're just, you know, little walking love. I see us like popsicles. You know, little walking love popsicle. You know, with a nice creamy center. A nice chocolate covering. You know, we're around. And we're giving His sweetness to people. That's what healing's about. The sweet heart of God. He wants them to have it. He's already given it to them. He's already paid for it. Yeah, He used, and we don't confine Holy Spirit to, you know, any particular method, any particular way of ministering. That's up to Him. He knows that person inside out. I mean, my goodness, He's the one who made them in their mother's womb. So He's going to know. They're fearfully, wonderfully made like this. And this one is fearfully, wonderfully made like that. And that one's fearfully and wonderfully made like that. Just like we're different. He knows. So all we do is we're yielding to the Spirit. We're yielding to the Spirit. We're yielding to the Spirit. That's what this is about. Okay? So, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. That is what we are doing. We are operating, I hate that one, flowing, living, abiding in the law of the Spirit of life. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. You get it? And He lives in you. So on one level, we have to look at this, not even on one level, we look at this, that it's impossible for them not to get healed. And the only thing that stops it is someone else's will. Or with us, we have to look at ourselves as well. Do I believe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free? Or do I believe it's their problems? Or do I believe it's that, oh, maybe they don't really want it? Or do I believe, you know, how am I looking at this? Do I live in that freedom? Do I know? Because we have to have it first, guys, if this is going to work. I have to know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Then I have something to give. Okay, because it's the living Spirit, the Spirit of life, His Holy Spirit that lives in me. He's my law now. He's the only law I live by. Okay. But there's such a joy in trusting Him. You don't worry about why He's telling you to do something. I mean, he told people to do some really weird things in the Bible. You know, who would think? Does anybody have food here? Oh, yeah. They've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that's not going to do enough, Lord. Give it to me. You know, come on. Very weird. Go to the water and the first fish that you catch is going to have the tax money. Yeah, right. We're not supposed to analyze it. We just trust him. Because with God, nothing is impossible. What were you saying, Lizzie?
That makes it exciting.
It is exciting. You never know what he's going to tell you to do. If he tells you to dance a jig, go and dance a jig. Maybe their grandmother used to dance that jig, and all of a sudden, there they are, crying their eyes out, and they're free. You know, you don't know.
Awesome.
You really don't know. Sometimes I sing in tongues to somebody. I don't know why it's happening. I now know. I didn't understand. That means they're always musical, and music speaks to them. Okay? That's how it works. So, you know, you just listen and be obedient, you know, and your obedience isn't because you're a slave. Your obedience is because you're a son. And he trusts you. And he says, I want you to do this. Do this for me. Yes, I love you. I will do this. It's always still based on love, you know, but I just get really strongly. He just keeps emphasizing. It's like it hasn't gotten across yet. The law of the spirit of life. That's what we have written on us now. That's what we walk in. The law of the spirit of life. So wherever we go, guys, whether you're tired or whether you're happy or whether you're sad or whether you're, you know, had a grumble with your husband or wife, doesn't matter. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is pouring through you and out of you. Now, I'm not saying, because I know I said before, that it's important how you are, where you're at. Okay? It's important that you know that you're walking in the reality of that you know it's true in you. Okay? And that's right. I'm just going to read what you said, Jean. The law of sin and death is condemnation. And Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's right. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is love. That's exactly right. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Exactly. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is love. It's exactly right, Jean. That's great. That's it. That's all we're doing. Guys, if we want to single it down or reduce it down to one word, it's love. That's why I'm doing this. So did that speak to you, Jean? Because he was telling me it was you.
Yeah.
Okay, good girl.
I just now got that revelation. I have studied that verse for a long time.
The law
of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I said, "Say, what does this mean?" And I just got it tonight.
Woohoo! Oh. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. See, this is what'll happen with you guys. See, the fact that I knew it was her, it's not like, wow, isn't Jessie amazing? That's not it. Isn't Holy Ghost amazing? That he loves her so much that he would tell me about 20 times, Jessie, you didn't do it yet. Jessie, I want you to read it again. You need to read it again. It's for her. That's what he told me. That's the love of the Father. Through Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our teacher. That's him. See, do you see how it happens? It happens right here online. That's how it happens, guys. It isn't something we figure out. If you're trying to figure it out, you're going to miss it. If you just yield, because you know he knows, come on, who knows better than you, the one who made you? He's going to know better than you do. I mean, I didn't make Gene. You know, I don't remember being there. You know, I wasn't there when she was being wonderfully and fearfully made. But he was. He knew her heart. And she's just gotten amazing revelation. Gene, I'm going to tell you right now, this is what he's telling me. It is going to transform the way you minister to people. It will transform it. And I mean that right now. And I'm not just, I'm declaring it. He says so. He's declaring it.
It's Jesse.
Yeah. He's saying it. It will never be the same, Jean. And your life with him will never be the same. As well. Not just for ministry, for him, you and him. So he's doing it right now. Do you see here? This is wonderful. It happens right now. So thank you for the privilege, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jean, for being yielded. This is how it happens, guys, like this. This is the amazing grace of the living God. Transforming a human being that he made fearfully and wonderfully right in the moment in front of your eyes. Now, if that doesn't knock your socks off, nothing will. That's how it works. That's how it works, okay? So it is totally, whatever it was, Gene, that needed to be undone for you is undone. And it's one of those, it's that, like your little picture. It's the new day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's a new day living now for you. With him. Not just for others. Not just for, you got to get that because you love helping others, which is wonderful. That's his heart. But it's not just for others. It's for you as well.
He was wanting me to put that down. It took me a while to write it down. I wrote it on my piece of paper over here.
Yeah.
Then I, you know, it was like, Holy Spirit says you need to put that down.
Yeah. So. Well, he knew that would open the revelation. That's why. Okay, he knows. He knows how to do it. You know, I always go, Holy Ghost knows best. You know, I'm like, you know, I would rather, you know, like Schultz in, what was that program called? Hogan's Heroes. You know, I know nothing. I know nothing. That's, you know, I know nothing.
Yeah, Hogan's Heroes.
You know, I know nothing. He knows everything. Well, that makes it easy. I don't have to depend on me. Do you see how it works? I mean, I think this is an amazing demonstration of how he works. This is it, right online. Here we get it. I know nothing. Like, how would I know that Gene had that scripture, has been studying that scripture for yonks, you know, years and years, and he keeps telling me to read it. And then he points to me, he shows me your little, you know, your little picture there, and it's like, it's for her. And then read it again, because she didn't get it yet. I know nothing. He knows everything. If we go in with that, in ministering to other people, whoa, tremendous. You know, people want results. They want results. Forget the results. You go in with I know nothing, he knows everything. Results, they'll blow you out of the water. Exceedingly abundantly more than you can think or ask for. That's what he wants to do through us and in us and for us. It's not just through us. People think, I'm working for the Father. I'm not in the family. I'm in the family business. I'm not an employee. It's my daddy's business. I'm about my Father's business. So he gives me everything I need to run it. And I'd rather come in, and I know this works because I've been doing it long enough, that if I know nothing, he knows everything. Hey, I'm safe. He'll tell me everything, every step of the way. That's what he wants to do with all of us, you know? So we don't have to figure it out beforehand because it happens now. He's a living God right then and there. That happened for Gene right then and there. I didn't know. I didn't prepare for this. I didn't know somebody needed to hear that. You know, I just was yielded. I just went, okay, well, he's telling me to do it again. Okay, I feel silly, but I'm going to do it again. Go and fish. Go in, the first fish is going to have a coin. Okay. Sounds crazy to me. But it's important. We yield to him and a life transforms. Wow. Who wants to miss that? You know? So there you go. Freedom, girl. Absolutely. It's like light coming out of your chest now. You know, it's like, you know, they have those photos, or not photos, those paintings of Jesus, and he's got this, all this light pouring out of his, you know, heart section. That's like that now for you. Ha ha. Tough luck. Too late now. Da 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 da. Okay. You know, and that's how much he loves you and all of us. But, you know, you needed that. And so we've got to realize, too, if he gives something to somebody, we're not being discounted. They're a part of the body. If they rejoice, we rejoice. You know, we rejoice. I'm so glad she got it because that's going to make it a lot easier for me. You know, she's going to be operating in South Carolina with this amazing heart of Christ pouring out of her. Wow.
I'm hot.
You know, and they're not going to come to me because they got Gene. You know, so there you go. I know, I'm all tingly, my whole body. So I know what's happening. It's wonderful. And even if I wasn't tingling, it's happening. But I'm just saying he's doing that as well. Yeah. So it'll just continue until, you know, he's done doing it, Gene. So however long that needs. But I just think it's so important that we realize this is how alive he is in us. That it isn't because I'm Jesse that I get this message. It's because the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. Do we listen? That's all. It's simple. And if we're not very good at listening and we're confused or we speak too much and listen too little, or we want to analyze or whatever, if we have any of that, we can ask Holy Spirit to free us. That's what we do. We go, oh, Holy Spirit, this isn't working for me. I can't hear you that well. I don't understand. I'm confused. Open my ears. Free my mind. And speak through my mouth in Jesus' name. Simple. It's not a big, long, drawn-out thing. You say that, he takes over. Okay? We can't yield to him and yield to the flesh at the same time. It's one or the other. Okay? So that's why it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law, because the law is self-effort, self-reliance. So if you are led by the Spirit, that law can't get you anymore, because you've got the law of the Spirit of life. That's what you're yielding to. That's what you're being led by. Because we can, you know, you can't do both at the same time. You're either led by the law of man, or you're led by the law of the Spirit. So we can say to other Christians, yeah, I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law I'm under. That is it. We're done with the law of figuring it out, working it out, self-reliance. Did I do it good enough? Did I leave my hand there long enough? Did I say the right thing? Who cares? I'm in the law of the Spirit of life. He'll figure that part out. I don't have to figure it out. If we try to figure it out, we're going to choke the Spirit. Okay, from flowing through us. That's where our part comes in. We want an open valve. We want him completely open. You know, you want to open. I remember once when I was early days doing this, and, you know, I'd go out in the streets and, you know, go into some of the club districts and stuff to pray for people out in the streets who were, you know, might be having problems or be inebriated or whatever. Anyway, I came across this group of Sudanese students, gorgeous black people. I mean, they were shiny, you know, they were just beautiful young people. And I went up to them and asked them if anybody needed prayer for any, you know, healing. And one of them said, oh, yeah, I'm missing the ACL, the ligament in his knee, okay? And he's this young, he's only like 20 or something. And, you know, I said, okay, well, let me pray for you. I prayed. And I said, okay, try it now. And he did, and nothing had happened, you know, and I was like, man. And so I said, my, you know, standard joke was, oh, some of these are stubborn. They were all Christians, so I could say, I said, sometimes the devil just doesn't want to go, and they all laughed, you know. So I laid my hand on him again, and I actually saw my hand open. I remember saying, you know, I release you, Holy Spirit. And it's like, Holy Spirit is doing this, not me. And as I did, I could feel my hand get hot, and I normally didn't feel that. It was very rare for me to feel it. They would feel it, but I didn't feel it. I felt my hand get hot, and I knew. It was like 10 seconds or something. I said, okay, try it now. He stands up, he lifts his leg, and he goes, oh, that's awesome! And it was completely healed. He had a new ligament. Now, what I'm saying is the first time I was choking the Spirit, okay? I was learning on the job, and we all do. Because I was thinking, okay, I said my things, I did my little tick box, and I've done it all. Okay, but it should be good. But it didn't work. So I did it again, and then I remember this valve. It was like this valve in my hand just opened. You know, like when you have a valve, it can be closed tight, or it can open. If it opens, whatever is the liquid or whatever that pours through it, gas, liquid, whatever, will pour out. But if it's tightly closed, you know, nothing can pour out. And it just opened. I saw it actually open. And he poured out. And I knew it was done because the Spirit had done it. So that's the difference. First time, I tried to do it my way, in the flesh. okay, I've done the tick mark. This is what other ministries have said, da 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 da. Okay, should be done. Wasn't done. Second time, I went with the Spirit. He had a new ligament. He was supposed to have knee surgery. I can tell you, this guy was excited. And the rest of those people raised their hands and said, they said, come over to me, come over to me. I need healing, you know. That's how it works when we go with him. You know, the law of the Spirit is what leads us now. And the law of the Spirit is love. Not depending on ourselves or our good ability or our good works or how many times we've done this before or what happened, you know, when I did it, you know, a year ago, this happened to somebody. Don't. I mean, there'll be times there's going to be comparisons, but don't get caught in them. Okay? It's important that we don't get caught in them. Okay? Because comparison will sometimes hinder what he's trying to show you. Now, if he gives you a comparison, listen. But if you're trying to work it out yourself and compare, oh, I did this with so and so, maybe I do that. Don't do that, because you'll get caught with your pants down, so to speak. You know, it's just the picture I get. I mean, it's a silly picture, but you know, it just won't work. It's better to, if it reminds you of something else, make sure you're going to him with it. Is this what's happening again? Holy Spirit, is this what's happening? Or am I just assuming? This looks like this other thing. We don't want to ever assume, okay? Because you don't need assumption because you've got him. The Holy Spirit only looks for a willing heart. If the heart is willing, he will pour through fully. You know, unashamedly. What you were mentioning, Lizzie, that champagne of the Holy Ghost, because it's a celebration of him, of life. It's a celebration of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what he wants to give us. You know, and if we want to be an open vessel, and you know, you're right, that prophecy was that, you know, it's this huge vase or champagne glass or whatever. No, not a champagne glass. Huge vase where it's thin at the bottom, really skinny at the bottom, and very wide at the mouth. So that's how much he wants to pour into us. Okay. And then in that vision was also, there was a valve in the center of that glass, or it was actually, it didn't even look like a glass. It was kind of metallic looking, but goblet, whatever you want to call it. There was a valve, and out of that, so he would pour in, you know, his the champagne of the celebration of the life of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He pours that in, pours it, and it pours out of you through the valve. So we just have to open the valve, you know, and we just say yes. And if we don't know how to open the valve, we go, Holy Ghost, open the valve. You know, I want the living water to pour out of me. So, you know, it's all, he helps us in everything, every tiny detail. We don't have to figure out how to pour out. If we don't know how to do it, we ask him and he'll show you. So it's available for anyone, any believer who wants to, this is this year. It was a prophecy that he did on the first of the year, you know, January 1st, 2011. It's online as well. And he just showed me this amazing picture. It was like Niagara Falls with champagne, but Niagara Falls with champagne pouring down. And then it turned, and then from there, it wasn't just waterfalls. It was just pouring, and it would go, you know, like down the falls and just keep pouring, pouring, just pouring out, a continual pouring, outpouring of him, of celebration of Holy Spirit. This was this year that believers who wanted to open to that had an opportunity to open it. And then he wasn't going to stop it if it offended people. Because a lot of people get offended by the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people are offended by Jesus, obviously. You know, unbelievers are. But believers are offended by Holy Spirit. I mean, how bad is that? He's the one who does all the work. So you're going to have a hard time. You know, I know you can do it other ways. There are metaphysics that do it. People keep saying, oh, well, you can, you know, I've heard people saying, oh, you can teach unbelievers how to do this. Well, without God, people who don't belong to Christ, teach them how to do healing. That is New Age. That is metaphysics. But some healing ministries are actually saying those kinds of things. And I mean, that is the epitome of dishonor of God. Well, we don't want to go there. We want to make sure he's always at the helm. that he is flowing through us. We're allowing him to. We're not squishing him. We're not strangling him. We're open for him to pour in, and we're open for him to pour out. And all we have to do is ask. If we don't know how to do it, we ask. If we go, oh, it seems like it's a trickle, or it seems like it's not happening, just ask him. Holy Spirit, I want to be open. I don't know how to open. Oh, okay, let's open you. I mean, it really is simple. He's not going to make you jump through hoops to do it, or that you have to take 12 easy lessons and buy somebody's book or do somebody's ministry or go to somebody's conference. You don't. You've got the eternal teacher in you. Right there, right now. And yes, guess what? He's free. He doesn't charge you a thing. Okay? So that's how much he loves us. Okay, that's a really good question, Jean. So if someone, you know, knows that healing is available, but they think it's in his time, okay, and so they're basically resisting, you know, having it right now, which is available right now. There's a couple of ways you can address that. One way is to, you did that already. You know, you already gave her scriptures to show her that that's true. What I would do, first of all, is I would pray separately from her. And for Holy Spirit to reveal personally that her healing is now. Okay? Because we can say things, and if a person's open, they will get it. But if a person's not open, we can till the cows come home, and it's just not going to work. Okay? And it's probably going to build up resistance. It's best to go, you know, prayer closet time. Pray for her. And that he reveals, that he has his way. Okay? That's the first thing. Then after you've done that, say you have another time with her, or you see her, if she's a, you know, if she's a friend or somebody that you see in person, then you can, you know, ask to pray again, or they might ask you to pray again. And you can actually say, you can actually tell them that you've prayed for them. And say, I've prayed for you so that you can know how much he loves you and that he wants you healed right now. And see how they respond. If she goes, no, it's not God's timing yet. He'll do it. You know, he's teaching me something, or whatever it is that she's saying. You know what I would say? Well, then I'm not going to pray for you. I know that sounds mean, but it isn't. Because then the person has to confront that. We don't want to babysit somebody's crutch of believing the wrong thing. And you're actually giving her an opportunity then to look at the truth. Because if you pray again and she's still saying that, you're wasting your time. Now, I know other ministries would say no, you just do it anyway because they have enough faith themselves to get it done. And I'm not saying, you know, I've heard one say that, you know, somebody came and they had literally been prayed for 100 times and they never got healed. And this person was just like determined they were never going to get healed. But they came to the prayer line anyway. And they went up to the person ministering and saying, you know, I'm not going to get healed. You know, it's just not going to work this time either. And the person started laughing and say, you don't know my father. And he prayed and she got healed. Okay. So I'm not saying make a rule about it. Again, go to the Spirit with it. If Holy Spirit says, okay, let's say you've prayed for her to have it revealed personally to him. You go back, she's still saying the same things. If Holy Spirit says pray, pray. If he says not to, don't. I have found if somebody's stuck in a mindset and they don't want to move, I found it doesn't, I don't see them get healed. Now, perhaps that other person who was ministering, you know, had greater faith than me. I am not saying, you know, do it my method or what my rules. I do it case by case, person by person, you know, individual by individual. And it's always by Holy Spirit. You know, just be led by him, Jean. You'll find now that you really understand that that power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that will probably change anyway for you in how you'd minister. You know, she might not be able to, she'll probably get knocked over. You know, she might not be able to resist. Okay, we want to get to that point where who cares what you say? I don't care. Shut up. Holy Spirit wants to heal you. You know, you do want to get to that place. I'm not saying let's be limited or make up, you know, make up rigid rules for people. We never want to do that. It's spirit-led. So that's just my personal suggestion. I have come across people that will say things like that. Usually I can get them to the place that they realize, no, he loves you right now, and you can have it right now. If I can't, if it depends on the, you know, in a situation, if she's just deceived, is different than somebody willfully saying no. That would be like someone, you know, going to Jesus and saying, okay, I want you to heal me, but I know I won't get healed now, but I still want you to, you know, you still pray. I don't think Jesus would do it. You know, people came to him because they wanted it. I still have that, you know, hey, I'm learning as well. But I would, if someone came to me and said, you know, God will do it in his timing, then I'll go, well, you go back and talk to God and tell me when it's his timing. And not being sarcastic, it sounds sarcastic, but it's because I would want them to confront that. Do you want to stay ill when he wants to give it to you freely now? That's what would be coming forth from what I had just said to them. If you choose to stay that way, then stay that way. That makes a person decide. Do I want to stay there? You mean he really will give it to me now? Yes, he will really give it to you now. Now, and I'm not saying make that a rule. I'm saying, you know, there will be times where you might get somebody like that, you pray for them, they get healed anyway. Okay? But one thing he showed me the other day is he said, the results are up to me. That's what he told me. Because I went out and I prayed for somebody the other day when I was out shopping, and she had arthritic knees, really bad, you know, and she was a bit heavy as well. And I prayed for her, and, oh, it's a bit better, you know, and she wasn't English speaking, not her first language, so it was hard to understand what was going on. But anyway, and I prayed, you know, I prayed two or three times, I think. And she still kept saying there was a little pain, you know, and I was a bit inside, personally, I was a bit upset. I'm like, that shouldn't be happening, you know, I'm, you know, I have usually 30 seconds and they're good, and, you know, what's it? And I distinctly heard him say, the results are up to me. And I was like, whoa, that just knocks your socks off, doesn't it? You do your part. The results are up to me. And that's how we look at it. You do what you're supposed to do, what you know you're, you know, you yield to him. He tells you to pray. You do the praying. It's up to him. We don't know about those people. I had one guy who I prayed for and had just some manifestation, wasn't, and this was not online, this was in person, and it was fairly minor, you know, yeah, a little bit improvement, whatever. And I was really upset because I didn't try to grow his leg out, and I didn't do that, you know, I didn't spend enough time, you know, I had all these, you know, and I wasn't even in the mood to do it, yeah, but I felt guilty. This was in the olden days when I had to do it to everybody, you know. But and he just literally came back on my path on the sidewalk, and he was limping like there's no, you know, like Igor, you know. It was like, oh, how am I supposed to avoid this one, Lord, you know? So it was kind of like I did it. And I was really upset, and I never thought I'd see the guy again. Well, anyway, a few days later, I hear that he's trying to find me at the hardware store, and he because he had gotten healed. Yeah, and I was like, what? And she said, oh, yeah, 36. I mean, it was really specific. 36 hours later, he got healed. I'm like, who counts? You know, who counts how many hours it was? I'm like, okay. And then he came to see me. And he told me, he said, you know what? I thought you were one of those crazy faith healers, and my daughter and I laughed at you, you know, at dinner that night. He said, and then the next day I was healed. And I want to know what happened. He came back to see me, you know. And I was like, what? In my head, I didn't say it to him, but in my head, I was going, I thought I did a lousy job. I thought I didn't do enough. We only saw a small manifestation, and you healed him, Lord. Well, thank God for your grace. Do you understand? So when I say it's important where you're at, I am not making it a rigid rule. What I am saying is that when, like, if you're tired and you're overwrought and you're overdoing it, which I've done so many times, and then I get mad when I don't see people healed, and he says, it matters to me how you feel. And I go, what are you talking about? And he says, it matters to me because how you feel affects how I flow. That's important because it's relationship. And if I'm not listening to him to rest, I'm being disobedient. And he wants me to rest and have my peace too. I'm not just a workhorse. And that's why it won't work then. But if what's happening is I'm doing it anyway, out of obedience, you know, and the guy's coming up the road. What am I supposed to do? He's walking like Igor. I've got to pray for him because I feel so bad, you know. And I pray for him, but I'm not even in the mood. God's grace is sufficient. He got healed anyway. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying? The ultimate thing is his grace will cover it. Where we can't, you know, in our weakness, his power is made perfect, right? That's including in healing ministry. You know? We think it just means, oh, when we're being persecuted or something. Or when we're having a problem. Oh, good, his grace is sufficient. No, his grace is sufficient everywhere. In everything.
We're good friends with him, and he had an issue and Jim prayed, and he just got real quiet and kind of left. Joe thought he was really mad at him.
Wow.
And he was like, okay, and Joe left, and then his wife called the next week for some more computer work, and she said, did you pray for him? And Joe was like, yeah, he just kind of got up and left, and she said, well, Sunday he went to the altar.
Wow.
So the Holy Spirit did something, you know, in him, and he didn't say anything, but you just never know what the Holy
Spirit you don't. You don't, you know, and there he's saved. Isn't that amazing? I mean, oh, wow,
awesome.
What a reward. So that's exactly it. You see, it's in your own lives. That's exactly it. We don't know. Holy Spirit said to me, the results are up to me. How do we know that we prayed, you know, like, okay, I prayed for the lady with the arthritic knees. It didn't look like there was 100% healing, you know. And we can judge it or be upset with ourselves or whatever. What did I do wrong? None of it. No. He said, Jesse, and he was firm with me. It was like one of those, you know, I'm going to chastise you in a minute if you keep it up. It's like the results are up to me. They're my business. I thought, okay, all right. You know, that's when you back down with Holy Ghost. You don't you don't push him, you know. I mean, he's all loving and sweet and wonderful and, you know, pours in joy and love and all that stuff. But don't push me. You know, he is the living God still. And that's why we yield, you know. And look at what happened. That's wonderful. You know, I mean, it's better than wonderful. You know, that's astounding. You know, for someone just to give their life, you know, your husband prays for him, doesn't even know what's, you know, basically what's happening, you know, what's changing in him. And there he is. Now he's a new creation. Wow. Doesn't get better than that, you know. So.
You just pray. Be faithful.
Yeah, just pray. Just pray. Who cares? Who cares? You prayed. You did it. Let him work it out. You know, that's really trusting him. Because what if your husband said, okay, I'm going to pray like this, and I'm going to do this, and okay, he's got this problem, and I'm going to command it out, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do the Rottweiler style. The guy might have been so turned off that he would have run away from the altar.
Yep.
Rather than towards it. Yeah?
Yeah.
So we just do what we do by what he tells us to do, and he does the rest. So he does the rest. And when I say he does the rest, I mean, I mean that double entendre. He does the rest. We rest then. We do our small part. We are that mineral, you know, that absolutely vital mineral in that soil. Okay. We are that seed, that grain of mustard seed. And we do our part and then we rest because he does the rest. So we get to rest. I don't have to freak out and every 5 minutes and check on the person or go back and go over what I did or didn't do. Do I trust him or not? I trust him. Okay. You'll do it, Lord. That's how it works, you know, and that's freedom. And then you're not burdened and you're not exhausted. Otherwise, you're going to be exhausted. It just doesn't work. I've done it the other way. It's not the way to do it. So are there any other, testimonies or our questions or, you know, issues or whatever that anyone wants to share? I am putting this online so people can hear because it's really important that you hear, you know, what's happening. Yeah, exactly. That's great, Lizzie. So you thought you did a bad job praying for that manager, but his kidney was healed. So do you see? It's like the results are up to him. You know, if we can really get that, the results are not my business. I'm about my Father's business. What is my Father's business? Love. That's my Father's business, love. So I share his love abroad, and the results are up to him. Makes it very simple. Okay? And even though when we're on online ministry, okay, there is a different set of parameters, so to speak, or experiences you're going to have, because if you're being called on all the time, you're going to learn things that you wouldn't learn if it's just in daily life, you know, normal daily life. The postman's got a bad knee, the grocery clerk has got a wrist problem, you know. If it's beyond that, you know, and you're doing this as a ministry in terms of you make yourself available for certain times of day, you know, however many days a week, it is going to be a bit different. And that's why you have to just go back down to basics of that. I'm about my Father's business. My Father's business is love. He's given me Holy Spirit who will teach me all things and let me know how, you know, what I need to do. And the results are up to him. And leave it like that. It really is. We do need to always stay that way, no matter what kind of ministry we're doing, whether it's as you go, just daily life, or whether it's more of an official ministry where you're doing it on a regular basis. But the reason I first started out with long-term illness is because that can sometimes confuse you. It can be a bit of a wild card. If you're seeing somebody come back to you over and over, you can get frustrated and misinterpret what's happening. But it's still the same basis. You know, the same basis is I'm about my Father's business. His business is love. Holy Spirit pours forth the love through his through and power through healing. And the results are up to him. We still do that. The specifics about long-term illness are that you've got to deal with the person's woundedness first. Okay, and that's true with anybody, really. Because if somebody's got a wounded soul and very damaged, very hard for them to receive the love of God through healing. Okay, or healing through the love of God. So that was why I was, and it was fresh in my mind as well. That's an important one. But, I mean, we don't have to make a huge session about it at the beginning of doing this. But it had happened yesterday. And nothing is impossible with him. No matter how long they've been ill. You know, again, the results are up to him. And if we really know that, we don't have to freak out. When we don't necessarily see anything. Because we don't know what he's doing in the interior. See, it's an interior job. That's what Holy Spirit does. He heals them from the inside out. It's always interior. It's really important for us to realize that it's okay to support each other, whether it's in our own lives or people that we might be praying for. It's not that we failed if we haven't, quote unquote, got it. It's not about our getting it anyway. You know, it's the Spirit of God that does it. But if we need, if it's going to come through someone else, another believer, rather than us, say even for our own relatives, we do not need to feel ashamed or embarrassed. It's really important that we all get that. If someone else has got a revelation in the Spirit that is going to push that person over into that freedom of health and wholeness, who cares where it comes from? As long as they believe. That's all they need. They need to be in Christ Jesus. They've got a revelation that maybe I don't have, or someone else doesn't have, or the person who, you know, you don't have. That's fine. It's really important that we allow ourselves to be supported, okay, by others when we don't see it ourselves. So we can see how when we pray, and say, just back to that other point, that, you know, if we need support or we need someone else to help us with it because we're not getting through for whatever reason, and someone else has a revelation or understanding or whatever, or it's them, God says, you do it. You know, he picks people. You know, he told me the other day, and this would be, you know, heresy for some healing ministries, but not every person. You know, I used to think it was every person. I had to go to every person, whoever I saw, you know, that was it. He said, not everyone is for you to heal. Well, I mean, there are other people who are, you know, if he orders our steps, every step we take, then he orders who comes. He orders who you meet. He orders all of it. It's all ordered. So it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to do, you know, all 6 billion people. No, that's a lot of steps. I don't think I can keep it, or 7 billion or whatever there are on the planet now. You know, there's, you were going to say something, Aaron.
No, my husband walked in. I was saying hi.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. All right. You can do the kiss thing too. All right. So, so it's important that we realize, you know, it's not about like what we say in terms of getting it right or a formula, but when we're led by the Spirit, and I'm using the example of Jean because she's just gotten that amazing revelation today, is that when she prayed and she, this came to her, this is what I need to pray, this particular one about, you know, being breaking every wrong agreement and binding him to the will of God and everything, and the oil and wine poured into his soul, that's coming from the Spirit. It's not that we're all going to say that now every time. If there's a place to say it, we'll say it. I mean, it was a brilliant prayer. And it's because it's coming from his revelation. It's not like, oh, the other prayers weren't good or my prayer wasn't good. It's not like that. But it came from that pure revelation of what she just got today. And you'll have that, you know, as you're praying for people, suddenly, this is what's so amazing about, you know, healing ministry, is that suddenly you're praying for someone and he's revealing more of himself to you and you're benefiting from it and you're having a deeper relationship with him because you're praying for people. That's how it works. Nobody loses. You know, it's all win, 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 win. Whether they get healed right in that moment or not. Like, because what you said, the results are up to him. And his results are a lot better than ours. What we think is the final result is like, okay, they can walk without a limp. Oh, it's all wonderful, you know. He might have something else as well for them. That's far deeper than that. And it might take them 36 hours like this man who was mocking me, which didn't change God's mind about healing him. He still was going to heal him. Okay? Even when I had, you know, I wasn't even that excited about doing it. His grace was sufficient. He healed the man because he loves him. And he wants him to come to Christ. That man came to me 3 times trying to figure out how he got healed. And he'd come back for more healing for something else. And I would tell him it was about God, you know, who God was. Now, I haven't seen him in months now, but he came back three times and brought his wife, and his wife got healed too. So we don't know how much, you know, as Aaron with your husband, how much you're affecting a person's life by praying for them. The results are up to him. If we get that, we'll get our pressure off. That doesn't mean our intention isn't that they're completely healed. No, that's always our desire. Okay, we come with that desire. We don't want Ron staying sick and go, well, the results are up to God, so I don't have to do anything. No. We want him well. Our hearts are filled with the love of God. We want him well, but we let God deal with it. You know, we're not going to go in there and do the surgery. Holy Spirit does it. He's the holy surgeon. The whole point of healing ministry as a tool of evangelism. That sounds so highfalutin and silly. The whole point is to show and demonstrate the love of the Father. So they'll actually want to know this God. But if we're not doing that, if we're demonstrating the love of the Father and they just go, yeah, I'm going on with my life, who cares? Something's missing. You know, he shared that with me a while back because I went up to somebody and, you know, was in that old method of, you know, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it. And the person, it wasn't even about the person's back or whatever, even though that was an issue, because I was coming from the whole wrong position. I was coming from the position of, you know, it's about you. Oh, I've got to do this. I have got to do it. Not, oh, this person's hurting. Oh, God, you want to heal them. You know, that's where we're meant to come from, a place of compassion, not justifying our existence. You know, that's the other method, is we justify our existence. I don't need to justify my existence because he did it. But what I saw is I was missing what he really wanted to do. He really wanted that person to know him so they could be saved. So we don't want to miss that. And we always want that. That's our bottom line, that they come to know him. Okay, because if it just becomes about healing and we stop there, we've missed the point of healing, really. I mean, Father's going to pour it out anyway, just like he shines the sun, you know, on the wicked and the good. Okay, healing pours out. Okay, we are the ones, the emissaries, you know, of that healing, or the emissaries of his love. Okay, and we share that with those people. But we don't want to just go, okay, oh good, now you're healed and now I can go on my way and feel good about myself. That's not where we're coming from at all. It has to be far deeper than that, you know. And that's about being about, I'm about my Father's business. My Father's business is love. And the results are up to him, but I don't want to just, you know, okay, I've prayed for this person and da da da, and you know, they look like they're healed or partly healed or whatever, or in process. And, you know, I may never see them.